Hello and welcome to an extra special edition of Menopause Cafe in Conversation with Podcasts. Joining me today is Dr. Laura Jarvis, and Laura works in NHS Tayside Sexual Health Service and has a special interest in menopause. Laura describes herself as a compulsive soup maker and tea drinker, and she loves tending her garden and other happy outdoor pursuits, which I do believe may sometimes involve running. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hello, Helen. Thank you for that introduction.
And thanks so much for giving up your precious weekend time to answer various questions that women have been sending in to us over the last week or so. I mean, before I bash on with the questions and out of curiosity, can I ask what drew you to specialise in menopause?
Yes, yeah, certainly. When I started working in sexual and reproductive health in Tayside, menopause came under their umbrella. In some areas, it's very much the gynaecology who has that remit of dealing with menopause. But in Tayside, it was menopause. And I have to admit, I didn't know anything about menopause when I arrived here. In my previous job, I'd done very little. So for me, it was quite a learning curve, and I had some wonderful clinicians to learn from. So that was it. That was 20 years ago now. So
crikey,
things have changed. Yeah.
Saying things have changed. Has the narrative changed around menopause in the UK? Do you think over the last, say, perhaps the last 10 and then 5 years?
Absolutely. It really has. I think thanks to Menopause Cafe and other similar organisations, suddenly women are actually talking about menopause. It's, you can't look at the TV or read a magazine without menopause now being mentioned, and that really is fantastic. Before, it was very much driven underground. It was shameful or embarrassing. So it's just absolutely fantastic that we're seeing that change in attitude to menopause.
I mean, I wonder whether they will roll it out as part of the education in Scotland, as they have done in England.
Certainly hope so, yeah.
Right. We have 10 questions. This is not going to be like Mastermind. It's not against the clock. Okay. The first question. How do I know when it's really time to see the doctor? It seems like every couple of months I experience a different symptom, or the intensity of symptoms change. I find myself stuck between not wanting to bother my physician, but I also worry that I might be missing something.
Okay, well, you really must never feel that you're bothering your doctor. My first suggestion would be to contact your GP. You may find that there's the GP in the practice who has a special interest in menopause. Which is a good start, and make an appointment and go and see them. There are hundreds of menopause symptoms. I feel sometimes like I learn a new menopause symptom every week. And the symptoms can wax and wane for years, as we all know, and before and after the menopause and the perimenopause as well. There's actually quite a good checklist of menopause symptoms that you can find on the Menopause Matters website. And actually, it would be quite good. You could print that off and fill out your symptoms so that you could take that along to your GP, and it just at a glance it does show the sort of experiences that you're having. So it's a good start for the conversation.
Do you recommend booking a double appointment?
Or a triple appointment? Yes, I mean, absolutely. This is something that is so difficult to do in the usual 5 minutes or whatever the GPs have, and we're so lucky in our menopause service, because we have half an hour appointments, which are just fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you still able to see women face to face?
We're doing much more over the phone at the moment, but we will occasionally see patients face to face if there's a specific reason we need to examine them, or, you know, things are difficult over the phone. Yeah.
So really, if in doubt, you're not worrying your GP, follow something up.
No, not at all.
Brilliant. Okay, number two. I'm now 75 years old. Menopause started when I was 46, quite suddenly, all the known symptoms. And I have had many different medications, including HRT, over the years. Now I'm on Estragel and Utrogestan, but still suffer from severe hot flushes and severe headaches, especially during the night. I've noticed that I seem to have a monthly cycle during the month where I don't suffer any symptoms at all. I've essentially been told to put up and shut up as nothing else can be done due to my age. I've had no surgery and I still have my ovaries. And she just finishes off by saying, my mother, who died at 92, had hot flushes right up until she died. Could this be genetic?
Gosh, this is quite a question, isn't it? And I feel this sort of desperation here in this poor lady's story. So where can I start? It's interesting that she, despite being on HRT, she's still getting menopause symptoms, and that's unfortunate. But certainly at age 75, we probably wouldn't want to increase the dose anymore. In fact, we'd be quite encouraging somebody to try and come off if they could. It's interesting that she's describing a cycle, but of course the body still does produce some of its own estrogen in addition to the HRT you're taking. So there could be some of your own estrogen sort of buzzing around your body. I mean, you can still stay on HRT for as long as is necessary. And it really just involves a discussion with your GP, just weighing up the pros and cons and the risk factors that you may personally have. I would say to this lady, there is the usual recommendations, making sure we're not missing something else, like making sure you're cutting down on caffeine, making sure you're at a healthy weight, exercising, and actually cognitive behavioral therapy has been proven to help with menopausal hot sweats and flushes. So it feels as if our HRT isn't completely doing the job. And finally, yes, she's talking about her children, her girls. So anecdotally, we do seem to see that women who have an early menopause can sometimes find that their female offspring follow the same kind of pattern. So, but not always. So you know, not in every case.
I mean, do you find with different ethnicities, there are different sort of, do they go through the menopause at slightly different? Because I think it's 51, isn't it, at the moment? And I imagine that's probably a predominantly white demographic. Do you see it in other?
Absolutely. So I believe that Asian women have a slightly earlier menopause than average, which is really interesting.
Right.
And also things like, for example, if you're a smoker, you can tend towards an earlier menopause. So there are certainly risk factors that will draw you towards an earlier menopause.
That's fascinating.
It is. There's still so much we don't know about the menopause. That's the thing. Yeah. Still, you know, it's interesting.
I mean, presumably people are searching things like this.
Well, there isn't, you know, there isn't a lot of research going on in the area of menopause. There really should be more. There's still a lot of unanswered questions that we have. I'm hoping with the increase of interest in the menopause that will increase the amount of research happening as well.
Yeah, I think it was in Australia. Was it perhaps Monash University in Australia? They seem to be doing quite a lot out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is pockets of it going on, all over the world. So
that's hopeful.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, moving on to the next question. I'm now on venlafaxine. It has improved my mood and reduced my hot flushes. I have been on 37.5 mg twice a day. I still have extreme tiredness, non-existent libido, and sore joints. My GP doubled my existing prescription. She's confident that venlafaxine will help all the symptoms. Will this be the case, or should I start HRT? And then she goes on, can I continue the low-dose venlafaxine with HRT? I've been going through this now for 10 years, and I'm getting desperate.
Okay, good question. So venlafaxine, for those that you don't know, is an antidepressant, and actually it does help. It has been shown to help reduce hot flushes by about 50%. So, and also, of course, with it being an antidepressant, it will help with the mood-related problems of the menopause. I'm curious to know what kind of age this lady is. I suspect if she's saying she's now perimenopausal, that she may be maybe around that age of 50 or so. I must admit, I would be tempted to consider HRT rather than increase the dose of venlafaxine, providing she has no contraindications to HRT, obviously. And of course, she can take HRT alongside the venlafaxine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And I think, ultimately, I think that's what I'd be tempted to do. Because some of the symptoms, for example, tiredness, loss of libido, sore joints, I don't think the venlafaxine will help that, although it would help more with the mood-related symptoms of menopause. So that would be my feeling. But obviously, it's so difficult without meeting the patient to give recommendations. But maybe another conversation with their GP.
But certainly there wouldn't be a contraindication with the venlafaxine and the HRT.
No. We often use that, yeah.
Which is good because it's a combination I take, so that's...
Phew!
It keeps me functional and vertical, so no problems there. Okay, on to the next question. I have many of the physical symptoms, ironically no hot flushes, and even more of the emotional symptoms. The latter are the most debilitating: brain fog, memory, anxiety, low mood, which have led to a great lack of self-confidence at work. I seem to be anxious and nervous a lot of the time, particularly in the mornings at the start of the day. I'm on Everil 100 patches and testosterone. And she had a hysterectomy 2 years ago and still has her ovaries. What levels of estrogen and testosterone are recommended to help with these symptoms? And if I eventually come off HRT and my hormone levels drop again, will I have to go all through the symptoms again?
Okay, gosh, quite a lot going on here, isn't there, this question?
Yeah.
So I feel, first of all, I feel very sad to hear that her self-confidence is dropping at work because of these symptoms. But it actually is such a common thing that we hear that, isn't it, Helen? We see that a lot with our patients. And actually, CBT can really help with that, cognitive behavioral therapy, where we're looking at our thoughts and our behavior and what's happening in our work environment. So that's the first thing to say. This patient, she's already on a fairly high dose of HRT, but curiously, the estrogen levels that she's quoted here are relatively low. So it does make me wonder whether she's actually absorbing that estrogen properly. And there are some people who, when we give them estrogen through the skin, so with a patch or a gel, they don't absorb it, interestingly, and they have to take a tablet. That is a fairly high dose of estrogen, and it feels as if she's not getting the full benefit of that. So that would be something I would consider, switching to a tablet, even though that's not our preferred choice most often. Now, what was the other thing I was going to say? Yes, coming off. So she's asked at the end here about when she comes off HRT, whether the levels are going to drop and how she's going to feel. We get asked this a lot, actually, and it's very variable. So first of all, we do recommend coming off gradually, to taking a lower dose of HRT every 3 to 4 weeks. So halving your tablets or halving your patch and then gradually coming down. Some people, unfortunately, get a rebound of their symptoms. Other people don't. So it's really difficult to predict with that one. Have I answered all of those things? As I said, I always have to reiterate, you know, exercise is so good for mood-related issues at the menopause, and taking a healthy diet and the usual things. So I hope I've covered all of the areas of that question.
I think that was everything. I mean, going back to the self-confidence and the anxiety, do we know what causes that?
We don't. I mean, we know that there are estrogen receptors in the brain, and you know, there are estrogen receptors all over our body, including the brain, but we do see these symptoms occurring. But I think what happens is that people get themselves into a bit of a negative mindset sometimes. Like, if you imagine you're sitting in a meeting, it's an important meeting, you're usually very on top of your job, and suddenly you're having this hot flush, you feel so self-conscious, embarrassed, and then you know, your mind goes empty, somebody asks you a question, you can't think of what to say. you know, you can get into an absolute flap. And then when you come to go to another meeting again, you bring all this with you and all this fear and anxiety of, oh gosh, they're going to think I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. So I think people can also get into quite a negative mindset as well. And that's really difficult.
I mean, I think what also speaks to that is the fact that quite a lot of women say postmenopausally, they notice that they're getting their confidence back. They are becoming bolder, you know, and more able perhaps to speak their mind, but they're saying that some of them are discovering a confidence they never knew they had or they didn't have before.
Yeah. And that's wonderful to hear, isn't it? It's a wonderful
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So a real contrast between the women who are struggling and feeling, but maybe they go down and then come back up again and, you know,
Yeah, wasn't there a study of something that said it's like a U, the menopause, in that it, you sort of really, and everybody's U's will be slightly different, hopefully just a little dip. Okay, next up, I'm struggling with palpitations and at worst, slight panic attacks. I've never had anything like this before. What causes it and what can I do to help?
Okay, so palpitations are really common in the menopause. You'll see if you do download that symptom sheet from Menopause Matters website, you'll see it listed there. Obviously, we can't just rather assume that this is a menopause symptom. It's really important that we rule out other more serious causes of palpitations with a discussion with your GP. But certainly we do see that, and we do see panic attacks. I suppose I'd be curious with this person to know a bit more. I want to know her age. I want to know whether she has any other menopause symptoms, joint aches, night sweats, such like. But certainly for this person, you know, a conversation with their GP, just to see whether she wants to try some treatment would be really good. Yeah, need a bit more information probably for this lady.
Okay. The next one is quite a few questions came in very similar to this one. I've had painful, stiff feet and hands for 3 years. It's worse morning and night. Could this be menopause related? And if so, what causes it? I'm 53. I have hot flushes, brain fog, dips in mood and heavy bleeding.
Okay. So this lady sounds, if she's still having bleeding, that already tells me that she's not actually menopausal yet. She's probably perimenopausal. But the symptoms in the perimenopause can be just as bad, if not worse in some cases. So stiff feet and hands are also a symptom of menopause. So like you can almost get a kind of arthritis type picture. And remember that, as I said before, that there's estrogen receptors in every part of the body, including the muscles and the ligaments and the joints, so that's why you get muscle aches and pains. I would certainly recommend that she goes and has a chat with her GP about her symptoms, and you know, perhaps the GP may suggest a trial of HRT and just see if that helps the joint aches.
It's quite interesting because a lot of the women that come to their cafes, it's one of the things that they say HRT, if they start it, seems to get on top of within a matter of weeks. It's amazing how quick that their stiff knuckles and their knees. It's really quite drastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also yoga and qigong and various things and stretching. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's, I don't know what you think about that, to sort of just add that in as well.
Absolutely. Huge advocate of any physical exercise, and yoga is so good for the mind and body, isn't it? It's so good for our mental well-being as well. Great.
Brilliant. Again, the next question, quite a lot of women had this one or something similar. Really struggling with memory, for example. I can't remember what I'm talking about mid-sentence. That's really my only symptom. Any suggestions, please?
Yeah, that is so common, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing as well. We call it the brain fog of menopause, don't we? And it really is. That's really hard to deal with. You feel as if people are kind of, you can feel embarrassed and anxious about that happening. You know, you could consider going down the HRT route and that may happen, but failing that, it's very difficult. I think how do you, can you acknowledge that and not allow it to let you, let it affect your self-confidence and your ability? I mean, I've worked with some great people who just say, oh gosh, I can't remember what that word is. Oh, it's a senior moment. You know, we just sort of laugh it off. It's hard, isn't it? Really hard.
It is, especially I think for women as well, because, you know, in the workplace, there's always this perhaps slight emphasis that we do have to try that little bit harder, perhaps to whether to be taken seriously or just, you know, to feel as if we're doing a good job. I think trying to stack the cards in our favour, actually, and play to your strengths, write lists, you know, just, and if, as long as you can remember where you've put the lists.
That's right, yes. So have strategies to deal with it, yeah. And accept that that's how it is. It's okay, you know, it's okay to have brain fog, you know.
And is it similar to women after they've given birth? Is that sort of the whole baby? I mean, I don't have children, so I can't speak to that, but isn't it sort of almost like a baby brain?
Yes, I think it is. It's just a massive, your hormones are in turmoil, aren't they? Basically, in the same way you would be postnatally. Yeah.
Okay, next up. I'm using HRT and feel so much better. Why, in your opinion, are some GPs reluctant to prescribe whilst others promote it and the health, and not to mention the life benefits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. So I have to say, in defense of my GP colleagues, I've got lots of great GP colleagues and friends. So some of them are actually very knowledgeable about menopause, and some have a special interest in menopause. Some don't, and some do lack knowledge in the area, and are maybe a little bit outdated in their knowledge, and that they worry about the risk of cancer with HRT, and they don't realise the extent of menopause symptoms. So like we were talking before about joint aches, brain fog, they're maybe just not quite clued up that those can be menopause symptoms too. So really, it's just a case of GPs are generalists. We want to upskill the GPs so that they can give patients, you know, better advice. But it's a long-term process, isn't it? And work in progress.
Absolutely. And I mean, the next question, you touched on it previously. Do hot flushes ever stop?
Oh dear, there's a desperation in this question, isn't there? Yeah, gosh, good question. So it's like, how long is a piece of string? Some women get no hot flushes at all, lucky things, and others, like I think back to one of our original questions here about an elderly lady still getting them in her 90s. Some people are very unfortunate and have them their whole lives. And, you know, it's so difficult. Like, we can't tell by looking at somebody whether they're going to be unlucky and have them lasting a long time. But on average, I think it's about 7 years they last.
Right.
Still a long time.
Too long.
Yes.
Okay, and the final question, and also there's a lot of interest actually in testosterone. That seems to be coming up far more often. The only way I can get testosterone is via a private menopause clinic, which costs a fortune on a regular basis. My NHS GP won't prescribe it. What are my alternatives other than changing my GP, which is not always straightforward? And why is testosterone now not routinely available by the NHS? For certain groups of women, i.e. those in premature and or surgical menopause?
Yeah, this is a good, really good question. So testosterone is used for to help with libido and also with tiredness, lethargy. It is a bit of a postcode lottery, so there's massive variations between health boards. I mean, even what's really interesting is even where we are in Tayside, in Scotland, it's not, it appears on our formulary, so the drugs we can prescribe, but it has to be prescribed and recommended by a secondary care clinic. So, but in Fife, it doesn't even appear on their formulary, so it's not prescribable. And that's literally just, you know, 5 miles away. So it really is lots of variation between health boards, which is, was frustrating actually for patients, very frustrating. Now, the British Menopause Society is trying to work on this. You know, they really are trying to put pressure on health boards to address this. It's unfortunate that this patient has to go privately, but some people do have to do that. I'm just thinking one alternative for this patient might be to try tibolone, which is a hormone replacement therapy, and it mimics, it's not completely like a hormone treatment, in that it pretends to be estrogen and progesterone combined, but also it's supposed to be very good for libido as well. It has a, like what we call androgenic effect, so it behaves a bit like testosterone in the body. So I'm wondering if that might be a compromise for this patient, because that would be often more available. But I agree, it is frustrating that there's such a variation.
I mean, do you envisage a preparation in the UK that's designed for women? Because at the moment, I think, I mean, I use Testogel, which is, it's formulated, or it's not formulated, but it's designed for chats, isn't it? It's a male.
That's right. Yeah, well, absolutely, Helen. Thank you for saying that as well, because you're absolutely right. There isn't, it isn't actually officially licensed for women. So we end up using the male preparation, but in a kind of reducing the dose by about a tenth. But it is fully endorsed by the British Menopause Society. So that's great. We've got their backing. But I agree, there needs to be an actual female version of testosterone. And hopefully then it could become properly licensed and people would feel more comfortable about prescribing it.
Yeah. I mean, to wrap things up finally, is there a message you'd like to leave women with as regards perhaps how they approach their menopause and perimenopause?
So yeah, I mean, when we see a menopause patient at the menopause clinic, we very much take a holistic look. It's a really good time just to take a good look at your life and your health and review things. So we look at people's lifestyle in terms of what they're eating, how much exercise they're doing, their weight, smoking. You want to be living as long as possible into your postmenopausal years, and you want to be as healthy as you possibly can. And so it really is a great time to take a check on things. HRT can be fantastic, and by and large, the risks, the benefits far outweigh the risks. There is an awful lot of negative publicity about HRT, which mainly is quite negative and often untrue. So be open-minded to HRT, I suppose, is my take-home message. And the other big thing that we're really pushing now is vaginal health. So it's embarrassing to maybe bring this up with your GP, but we do notice a lot of people with dry vaginas, difficulty in that area, and we always recommend vaginal estrogens. Even if you're not allowed to take HRT, you can still use vaginal estrogens. So those are the sort of my main take-home messages, really.
Wonderful. Well, Laura, thanks so much for answering all those questions, and really thanks once again for so generously giving up your time at the weekend. It's really, really very much appreciated.
My pleasure, Helen. Thank you for inviting me.